Hello and welcome to another episode of Middle Class Film Class. I'm your host, Joseph.
And I'm Tyler.
I'm Peter.
And this week, the Wheel of Destiny landed on my pick, Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
What's going on?
She's here now. She seems okay.
What'd she say?
She had some boyfriend. They were living in the Catskills.
Is this Martha?
Martha.
You look like a Marcy May.
You've got a really nice place here.
It's as much yours as it is mine.
Martha.
Do you ever have that feeling where you can't tell if something's a memory or if it's something you dreamed?
I don't blame you for not trusting people. If you're ever going to have a meaningful relationship, you need to let your guard down. We want to help you. Let us in.
I don't know about that.
Well, she's just a picture. Lives on my wall. Just a picture.
You're my favorite. I won't lose you.
That's all.
Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
That music sounded like Last of Us at the beginning.
A little bit.
I was like, ooh, what is this?
A little bit.
Remix?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, also known as is a
acronym.
And an acronym. Is a movie that I watched a long time ago, and I was curious as to why I haven't heard much people talk about it. I mean, I was curious as to what people's thoughts were because I haven't heard really anybody talk about this movie ever.
Yeah.
This was written and directed by a filmmaker named Sean Durkin. This is one of the few projects that he's done, really hasn't done a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the plot of this movie, basically, Elizabeth Olsen plays Martha, also known as Marcy May and also known as Marlene. She is haunted by painful memories and increasing paranoia, and she basically is struggling to reassimilate into normal society after escaping an abusive cult, and is living with her sister, played by Sarah Paulson, named Lucy, and her husband, Ted, who is played by Hugh Dancy.
Ted.
And
I thought Nicole Kidman's in this.
That's what I thought.
Sarah Paulson, aka Nicole Kidman,
from Northman fame.
Yeah, Nick.
Her name was Sarah Paulson.
So that's basically the plot of the movie. And this is a second time watch for me. First time I watched it was like almost a decade ago, probably.
Wow.
First time watch for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Probably. Have you ever heard of this movie before?
The name sounds familiar, but it sounds like a nursery rhyme.
No, I had never heard of this movie before.
Okay.
I didn't know what had no idea it was about anything, like nothing.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm curious what you guys thought about it. I guess I have sort of similar thoughts of what I thought about the first time, but maybe just I have a more idea of
grown a little
how bit. I feel about it.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Tyler, what was your initial thoughts on this?
So this movie is a very slow burn. I liked it, but so you said, I think in the previous episode, when this movie was picked on the wheel, that this was a recommendation to your teacher.
Yes.
In film class.
From his teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that because I feel like if you're going to teach a film class, you would show this movie to people because there is a lot of ideas that you can take from this movie to make a great film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a little bit dry, and I like the subject matter. It felt like, what's that Ethan Hawke movie?
First Reformed.
It felt kind of like that. Like it was dealing with like a subject matter that is talked about, but not really on film.
There's a lot of cults that are explained on film.
Well,
or shown on film.
So
cult-like things.
Here's my example. Midsommar is getting inoculated into a cult. This film is about getting out of a cult And I don't think I've ever seen a film about someone getting out of a cult in like the repercussions that happens when you get out of such a intense.
Because it's usually like movie ends when they get out of the cult.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a great documentary about it. It's called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
The cult leader is played
I'll
by.
Have to check that out.
Played by John Hamm.
Yeah. But yeah, I like this movie. I think it ran a little bit too long, but like there's some beautiful shots, incredible acting from Elizabeth Olsen. I think what the movie could have done to like strengthen the fear of the cult that she was escaping was to like make the cult leader more present. Because you don't really see him a whole lot. And I mean, like, the first half of the movie is kind of boring. But, like, when you get into that second half, like, you're in it.
Okay.
But I liked it. I liked it.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes.
All right, Pete. I enjoyed myself quite a bit in this. It was not at all what I was expecting. And the thing that I think I liked the most was how it was edited. There's probably 5-6 different ways you can tell the same story, and I liked basically taking it. It was an interesting way to show how trauma affects people in their like present time,
mm-hmm.
and show that exact mirroring. Like, here's what caused this panic attack or whatever, and I feel like I've seen that style a little bit here and there. In movies, kind of peppered into movies. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but the whole movie is told that way in this, which I liked. And Elizabeth Olsen is perfectly cast. Plays it perfectly. I don't generally like Sarah Paulson, but I think she was perfectly cast in this as well, because I think she just has this a little bit of kind of draining, unlikable nature to her. That's just the aura I get from her, which is fine, because that's a necessary character type to play, and you don't really necessarily think her sister's a saint when she gets with her. She's obviously trying to help and stuff like that.
She's not a great person. I mean, how she treats her, it's like, yeah, she's giving her a place to live, but what she says, the things she says to her.
Sure. And
it was very jarring.
And I think that's also an indicative of how people treat people in their lives, you know, their loved ones in their lives that, mm-hmm. you know, may have past traumas that are having a hard time working with it. A lot of people are like, why, the mom in the Babadook, why can't you just be normal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just you're burdening me. And it's like, that's a real thing too. You know, her feelings are valid in that sense, but I don't know. I think the story was pretty good in that sense. And I didn't need to see the thing I liked too about the cult was, it's not like this big extravagant cult. It's not like Heaven's Gate or the Branch Davidians or anything like that. It's just like 7 people fucking each other in the woods.
Yeah.
Which is like,
and they've built a communion,
this very
small community on the side of the road.
Yeah. You're like, okay. I mean, I guess that could be a cult too. It doesn't have to be a big thing.
It's like almost like Amish, but like without the Amish part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like evil hippies.
Yeah. I mean,
wait, hippies aren't evil?
Charles Manson hippies.
Yeah. They're basically.
Yeah. They touch on that subject. We'll get into later.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, I didn't think it was very too long. I thought it was like perfectly, perfectly paced. I liked
it. It's not a long movie.
No, it's not very long at all. And
it's an hour and 40 minutes.
That's not that long.
I mean, I know that's longer than the 28-minute episodes you usually watch of TV series that you've seen 1,000 times instead of watching movies for this goddamn show. But, you know, I liked it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. I would agree that this movie is really good. I think there's a lot of elements to this movie that, like Elizabeth Olsen, like when I first heard, I was like, oh, the other Olsen sister. Oh, she's the good one.
Yeah.
You know, and then when she became, like, when she was cast into the Marvel Universe, I was like, oh, my gosh, I just remember her from that movie.
Oh yeah, she is the Wanda or whatever, right?
She's WandaVision. That's her character. That's her character's name, WandaVision.
WandaVision? Is she like a hybrid of Vision in her?
No.
Oh, okay.
Her character's like Scarlet.
I don't know. I don't
Scarlet Rod or something like that.
The Scarlet.
That's what is her name? What is the Scarlet Witch?
Scarlet Witch. Yes.
That's a character. Yeah.
That's her actual name
in
the character's name
in Marvel. Yeah.
Yeah. Her name is Scarlet Witch. Miss Witch.
But her name is Wanda Vision. Like her last name is Vision.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, continue.
Anyway, so this was like the movie that was like, oh, this has the Olsen sister. Oh, she's related to them? Oh my God.
What else has she done? I'm going to look while you're talking.
And so when I first watched it, I was like, this is a pretty uncomfortable movie.
Yeah.
And I was like 20 when I watched it. I'm now about to be 30. So yeah, nearly a decade since I last watched it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I got the same feelings when I first watched it. It was almost like a nostalgic thing. Mm-hmm. Because like I remember a lot of the scenes. Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of the imagery. I remember the confrontations, like the whole, like this, it's like, it's not your fault that you learn to measure success by possessions and stuff.
Yeah.
It's, like,
it's
just,
say about that.
It's just not the right way to live. And that, that whole argument, and like that whole scene, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Damn, she is crazy. but yeah, I feel like it is a really slow movie. I think it is appropriately paced though. And I get really creeped out by this movie. Just like, it's almost like, like Scientology in the sense that like, oh, they can find you.
Yeah,
you know, wherever you go,
sure,
almost, you know, and like if you think about the idea that, like, I was getting into the movie a little bit, but like she like makes the phone call to her cult, basically,
yeah,
and just from that they're able to track her down,
yeah,
and even the ending is like, ugh, God. Just...
On that topic, not to derail you, offer your initial thoughts, but how much energy do you have to waste just to save one person for your stupid cult? When you don't, I mean, don't you realize at that point that your cult sucks?
It's about power.
You got four followers and one of them left.
It's about drive. It's about power. We stay hungry. We devour.
Oh yeah.
Put in the work, put in the hours, and take what's ours.
When you put it that way.
Yeah.
What is that from?
The Rock.
That's from The Rock?
No, The Rock, the person.
Oh, okay. The person, The Rock.
The person, The Rock.
I was like, I don't remember Sean Connery saying that line.
Mr. Rock?
Maybe it was Ed Harris, I don't
but
know.
Yeah, it's I do enjoy this movie. I feel like 10 years is probably a good amount of time between watching the movie.
Yeah.
Why was it? It was just too, because, heavy, too heavy?
Like, I don't imagine myself being like, you know what sounds good to watch right now? Martha, Marcy, Marlene.
I almost put it on again.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. It's just the subject matter and the pacing of it. It is a slow movie, and like there's some really just uncomfortable scenes that are in this movie. That like I don't need to watch that again soon.
Trigger warning: there is a rape.
Yes,
that happens,
and then there is the almost like the outside of that same scene, but later in the movie.
Oh yeah,
with
a
different person.
Yeah, with the titular Martha.
And
when did they call her Marlene? I missed that part.
That was
her birth name is Martha, and then that fucking guy, Charles Manson guy, says, "You look like a Marcy May."
Yeah,
and then where's Marlene coming?
So Marlene is what the women call themselves at the cult.
Oh, they're all Marlene.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, they're like,
oh yeah, Marlene Miller. I think
they're like they're told to answer the phones as Marlene.
Okay, I did hear say Marlene on the phone. Okay,
that and they sense. Have like three rules like scribbled
so,
on the
so
wall.
Like this in trivia. So like we're getting into the movie a little bit now. Sure. So like the reference is like Martha is her name. That's her character's name. Marcy May, obviously John Hawks, the cult leader. He's like, look like a Marcy May, but it's because he plays songs like the song like we heard in the trailer. Mm-hmm. Are actual songs. And the song is entitled Marcy's Song.
I have an even better song. Can I play it?
And then the song Marlene is played over the credits.
Oh, that's right.
Listen to this. This is the shitty song before that song.
Oh, I was so pissed.
The asshole in the woods playing guitar for everybody.
Oh, Good job.
Great
song. Great song.
Didn't have any, he couldn't conjure up any words.
I know.
Yeah, he
and he was the younger dude, right?
Yeah, he was the younger guy that, yeah.
I think followed her to the diner. Was that him?
I don't think that was the guy playing.
It was the guy who killed the cats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which I didn't appreciate.
The younger guy that followed her to the diner, he was the, it was Michael Pitt and him were the two psychos in Funny Games.
Oh, yeah.
The American remake.
Mm-hmm.
Or the American copy.
Yeah, yeah.
By the same director.
But yeah, so Martha Mason, Mary Marlene, a movie that I think is good, a pretty good movie. I think is definitely worth a watch if you're interested in like cult sort of movies or in a more realistic sense.
Sure.
But yeah, anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think this movie is kind of an underdog in the sort of like trauma based cinema because, I mean, I've never heard of this movie and like I guarantee you can go to whichever person down the street and ask them, hey, have you seen this movie? And they're just like, what the hell are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, it just seems it seems niche. And I think that's a detriment to the quality of what was presented to us. I
feel like there's a drop about this.
Is there?
Something that Tyler said. Sorry, on my computer.
I will say, though,
that one?
I didn't. I wasn't stammering, but
my God, I love
Martha, Marcy, Mary, Arlene.
Yeah, no, I really did like this movie a lot. It was a little bit heavy for a morning movie, but you know,
that was your choice.
Yeah, watch these movies at night.
Well, you know, I was busy, but I really like the idea of instead of focusing more on her being in the cult, it was about her like you said, Joseph, assimilating into like a normal society, well, quote unquote normal society, but you can see like in some scenes like she still has like residual like
she has the cult beliefs ingrained
beliefs.
I don't think that's in some scenes. I think that's in like every scene. It permeates her entire life. It's ruined her.
It's like a part of the cult is bleeding into her
and
to her like existence, and like it's like she can't get out of it. She can't get out of the mindset.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, this is a good like thought,
thought experiment.
A thought experiment is like, I was thinking like, who would like follow this piece of shit? Like,
it's the same reason why people, go to the Gathering of the Juggalos. They feel like they have no they have no tribe to attach themselves to. So it's like I'm not even joking either. Yeah. I know that sounds funny, but the same reason people join gangs is the same reason people go sometimes, not always, not all people, go goth and become a juggalo.
Well, it's interesting because
it's an accepting environment, and it's like you want something different than what you have, and then also you have these people that are willing to accept you for exactly who you are.
Yeah, I mean, they don't explain like how she ends up on the farm, but she's there.
She's like hanging out with a friend who joined,
and the cult. And like it's a really interesting it's really interesting to see like how people go into cults, because it's not so much we're gonna like hammer you with all of this belief systems and you're gonna take it. Like it's like they're like slowly
integrating them. When people are in a cult, they don't know they're in a cult until later.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so I thought that was really interesting take on like some sort of cult movie, because like when you watch cult movies, like it's really fast paced. Like they don't show you like the process of it.
I don't agree with that. There's a lot of cult movies that I've seen that show how these people are indoctrinated in. Like there's What Did Charlie Say or something like that. That's the one with about Charles Manson, and it shows all these girls that get indoctrinated, and it's like it's usually one charismatic person that kind of more or less casts a spell on you, and the lifestyle seems great because you don't have anybody telling you what to do until they really do tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And but at the moment of it, that's like classic indoctrination, classic brainwashing is, you're one of us. We accept you. You can do anything you want. Don't you hate it out there? Your world sucks before. It's just like what politicians say every election cycle. The world is so bad right now. Vote for me. I'm going to do something different. And then they all do the same fucking thing again.
Oh, man. So politics is a cult now?
Politics is a cult.
God damn it.
Speaking
Why of, am I voting?
The fact that all the girls are called Marlene is kind of like Australia. Every woman there is named Sheila. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Bruce. Every man is named Bruce.
Sheila.
Except for Jack Fitzgerald. And then everyone. And my buddy Curtis. And then all Sheilas.
Yeah.
Sheila.
It's a right group of Sheilas there.
Yeah. All of Australia is a cult.
Yep. No, it's a prison. It's a prison island.
But I was more interested in the aftermath of her leaving the cult rather than like the scenes of where she was in the cult. Like when a perfect example of a scene is when she just strips nude and goes into the lake and starts swimming. And her sister Lucy is just like, "What the hell are you doing? Why did you
I thought we were hippies. Aren't we allowed to be naked as hippies?"
And I thought, like, in
what a raw deal.
It's crazy
hold on. Sorry. Let me just finish this thought. What's the craziest thing about it is, like, when she is stripping nude to swim, like, I was totally accepting of it. I was just like, "Oh, yeah, you know, like, take your clothes off and swim. Like, whatever." But then once Lucy, like, interjects and it's like, you can't just take your clothes off here. I was just like, "Oh yeah, that's right. You shouldn't be nude in a
I'm worried about that idea that you think that way, Tyler."
I know. Tyler's
wait a minute. I need someone to tell me that this is wrong.
Tyler's the atheist that the Christians talk about. They're like, "Without a God telling you not to kill babies, what do you have that's telling you not to kill babies?" And Tyler's like, "You know what? That's right. Maybe I should kill a baby today." I've been thinking about it.
Your words, not mine.
Speaking of Elizabeth Olsen and her track record, what I probably know her best from would be Ingrid Goes West. She was like the
Aubrey Plaza. Yeah,
she's the influencer that Ingrid is obsessed with. Taylor Sloan is the character, and but this movie is her debut feature length movie.
Yeah,
it's her first one. She did a TV movie before that with her sisters, but that was
it's crazy to think that because the director wanted to cast an unknown, and he did. Mm-hmm. He casted Elizabeth Olsen, who was basically
fantastic,
an unknown.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point in her career, and it's crazy to think that now, not an unknown at all.
Yeah,
it reminded me a little bit of that that Andrew Garfield movie. I think it was, I can't remember what it was. I saw it last year. It was it was almost a cult. It was Come With Me or something like that.
Mm,
I'm trying to figure.
I think it is Come With Me. Sounds familiar.
Not Never Let Me Go.
That's it. Never Let Me Go. That it kind of reminded me of that in the sense that she's indoctrinated into this thing and then gets out and you kind of see the life afterwards and he's in that kind of a similar situation but way worse. Did you guys end up watching that?
No.
Okay. Martha Marcy May Marlene was too heavy, Never Let Me Go is fucking destroyable. It'll destroy your psyche. It's really, really heavy. So maybe I'm just a little jaded because I've been subjecting myself to so many depressing movies this year that this movie was like, I thought it was good. It was pretty fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that it was a tight little movie too. It was like a couple exterior shots in, you know, the woods. They do a couple B&Es, a couple home invasions in these various houses, which could have all been the same house.
Yeah.
I was very confused. The first time it shot back to show them breaking into the house.
Yeah, because the house looks so familiar.
It was very similar to the house that they were in the present time.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they're all just like kind of lake houses anyway.
Exactly. Kind of like a South Lake Tahoe cottage house or something like that.
Yeah.
Cabin. And, but the way that it's, the confusion only lasts for a split second until you see the cult leader with them.
Right.
And you're, the filmmaking and the exposition and showing rather than telling was on full display and was really good. It didn't seem confused just for like a split second when they're like, "Wait, are they breaking into her? Oh no, they're breaking into her house." And then you see it's a totally different person. Like, okay, cool.
You see like the owner of the
never
house.
Mind, never, yeah, the owner with the long hair.
That section was really just unsettling to watch. It was, and then like the one where you see the cult leader who's talking to that guy. He's like, hey, we don't want anything.
In the entryway?
Yeah. He said, we're just going to go. And then you see like the owner of the house and then like the other members standing behind him.
The witch. Just like a freaking witch.
Just like waiting to fucking pounce.
I was very concerned about for that man and what was going to happen to him. And I was like,
and the way they did that scene, like it was just like, oh my God, I feel like I'm there. Like I just,
yeah. That's another thing I like about this movie is like, it feels like you are a part of this, story. Mm-hmm. Just like being a fly on the wall, like watching everything unfold. I think the cults scenes like where they were in the past, I think that could have been a little bit more extrapolated on, like because there's a lot of assumptions to be made, like that this is a cult. It's not like it's not hand given to you. You
want it to be fed to you?
Well, I kind of wanted a little bit more from it. Like it's more, I don't know.
You want to see more structure? You wanted a more impressive cult?
Well, I wanted to
see. You wanted Waco?
Yeah, exactly. And, but that scene, which you guys were talking about, I was on the edge of my seat because I was like, well, they're not stealing anything. Like, what are they doing? Like, what's the point of them being there?
I think
there?
They're trying to find her.
She's in there. She's with him.
Yeah, she's with him.
Remember, because she gets traumatized. And that's what turns her into the basically like her first step to get out of there.
Yes.
Like I just feel like there's like a lot of assumptions to be made, like that they're like anti-capitalist.
What are they doing wrong besides rifling through people's private photos while cleaning their house and then talking about it on our podcast years later?
What are they
doing? Doesn't seem like anything wrong there at all to me. What morally, objectively correct?
I didn't break into anyone's house, though. That's the problem. That's the inherent point.
As you opened that picture book, you had immediately broken into that house.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, Tyler used to clean houses in South Lake Tahoe for a living, and he cleaned Olivia Wilde's house and
Olivia Wilde's family's
house, and like rifled through her family photos and like looked at them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Whether his pants were on or off is yet to be known.
No, my pants were on. It was very cold.
But if once you get let into the house, if there's areas of the house that are off limits, like someone has their bedroom locked and then you break into that bedroom, you're now invading into their privacy.
Yeah, but I didn't break into anyone's bedroom. But
you pick the lock on that photo album?
There was no lock.
You don't have locks on your photo albums?
I didn't know that was a normal thing to have.
I don't want a cleaning person to open it.
Well, guaranteed there's a lock on it now.
Yeah, well, maybe
they're,
so.
They're like, this photo album smells like patchouli. smells like whiskey cedar, hard cologne.
Oh, man.
Can we talk about the anti-capitalist message?
Let's go into it.
I think about this a lot. Like we've talked about it with the Everything Everywhere All at Once that Joseph and I had talked about, how there's a scene in that, Tyler. I know you don't care about spoilers, but there's a scene in that where the mom and the daughter are essentially just two rocks on a cliff,
mm-hmm.
and their whole message is basically like, well, don't worry about anything. Just be a rock. It's fine.
They're literal stones.
They're literal
stones.
And they're sitting on a cliff, and there's no conversation happening there verbally, but there's text on a screen. They're having a conversation as two rocks.
Oh, okay.
And you know, the idea of why did I have to exist? Why can't I just be a cat or a river otter or something like that with no bills and no responsibilities?
Yeah.
And it's like that. The idea is cool, and you can do that as a human, like she says. You know.
Yeah.
The brother-in-law. Essentially, says,
Ted.
Ted, yeah, he says, you know, you think about what kind of job you want. She goes, nope. You think you should get a job? You're about that age. Why?
Yeah,
it's the adult thing to do.
Because that's the adult thing to do. And she's like, well, there's other ways to live. And as soon as she said that, I was like, look where that got you. Yeah. Look where you've been.
Yeah.
There are other ways to live, and now you're being rescued from that.
And it's funny because I think Ted. Explains that, like,
no, look, I don't think he does.
He says, he's like, oh, you mean like running away for 2 years, not knowing where we are, and not
because there is viable ways to live outside of like having a day job and stuff. You could live on the land,
sure,
and you could like harvest your own food or like forage and stuff. I mean, there's nomads. There's homeless people. There are people that choose. There's people that choose to be that way.
Yeah,
you know, and there's people who through the circumstances of life fucking them repeatedly over and over again end up that way against their will.
Sure,
but if I've thought about this many, many times, like if I were to just sell all my possessions now and just like fuck off to Thailand or something like that, where I could live off of that money forever.
You'd be a king.
I could be a king. I could buy hotels as I see. I could have my own personal Monopoly game out of that currency. But if you live on the land.
But you lose your comfortability.
That's it. We've already been mentally ruined because air conditioning exists. And fluffy beds exist.
Yeah.
And warm socks on a winter day exist when you want hot cocoa and you want to snuggle up and watch the lighthouse for the 1,000th time.
Yeah.
Because that is the benefit. Nice comfortability, reliability, knowing that I could
stability,
knowing I could walk down to the grocery store right now and grab a nice fresh apple or a Subway sandwich anytime I wanted to because I have the money to do that.
We have Subway.
Yeah. My favorite two food groups, Subway and apples.
And I think Ted really like emotes that because he's not pissed off at her being there.
I wish he would have emoted that. I don't think he did any. He didn't convey that message at all. He was just mad at her for fucking off for 2 years and not calling instead of almost presenting like, you can do this, but here's the negative side to that. Absolutely do that.
I think he was like mad because of the idea of risking losing that comfortability. And so like he was kind of like he was challenging the ideas that were being fed to him rather than being mad at her. Although he was mad at her for being there because
I think you're personalizing a lot of that whole scene. Because reaction to that just was pissed off at her for questioning his like insistence that she gets a job. You're in my house.
I also think that he was insulted.
Yeah,
like telling more insulted than being told that like I'm not living the right way. Yeah. Like it's like your way is the right way, and that's like the almost like the basis of like religion. You know?
Yeah. You know? That's a good idea. Yeah.
It's like my God is right. And your God is wrong or whatever, you know, if you don't believe this, then you're going to hell. Obviously, it's very like, I have all the answers.
Sure.
You don't have any of the answers.
I like the Ricky Gervais method about atheism. He's like, it's not that I don't believe in
one God.
I believe in one less God than you do. There's 10,000, there's tens of thousands of gods out there. You believe in this one. I just don't believe in that one or the other 10,000.
Yeah.
So I just believe in one less God than you do. Yeah, it's kind of funny to think about like that, but
I think one of the strangest scenes in this movie was when Lucy and Ted are making love, and then she just comes in and just lays down right next to them.
Yeah,
like what? Like I understand like she comes from a place.
You see the orgy scene basically, and that's where it probably comes from.
And
it was jarring at first because that orgy scene is later in the movie, and then this scene is like in the beginning. So like you're just
kind of, but what? We get the context later.
Yeah,
you find out why she's fucked up in the head because later. But still, even if you were casually around orgies on a semi-regular basis in your last couple years of living, is like the sound of people slapping meat make you want to go cuddle up with them?
I don't know. She's just fucked. She just gets fucked up in the head. But what's crazy to me is that she was in there for 2 years, but she's been alive a lot longer than 2 years.
Sure.
So it's like, is she that brainwashed? Gullible. Is she that is her brain that altered because only for being there only 2 years?
Mm. I think they allude to the fact that she lost her parents. And maybe that was the catalyst of her going to the cults.
But I get what you mean. It's like, that is 2 years enough to traumatize someone that bad?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe pick the person.
Maybe she witnessed a murder. I think that would traumatize anyone.
All of the, I guess, people or women, because like it's mainly women who are in that cult.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are all, I guess, at vulnerable points in their life, so that they're basically like a sponge, so they just absorb all whatever they're exposed to at that time.
That's why Charles Manson primarily picked up runaways. They were girls that were at an impressionable age, forming their own sense of identity in their life, and also felt like they had nobody to turn to because they literally didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a deprogramming expert, Rick Allen Ross, called this movie the gold standard of film depictions of cults.
You know what? I think that's where I've heard the name before, because I've seen a Esquire or like what
Vanity Fair
video. Yeah. Yes. I saw that video, and he talks about how realistic different cult movies are, and they talked about this movie in it.
And then along with Charles Manson, there was a lot of similarities between Patrick's cult, which is John Hawks, his name is Patrick, and the Manson cult, and Manson, like Patrick, attracted a group of young and attractive, damaged young men, and especially women to a remote rural compound. Manson often renamed the members of his family, just as Patrick decided that Martha should be named Marcy May. Manson dubbed Susan Atkins Sadie May Glutz. Manson, like Patrick, required all or nearly all of the women to have sex with him as a prerequisite for family membership. And both the real Manson and the fictional Patrick encouraged everyone to have multiple sexual partners. Manson murderer Susan Atkins had experienced the early death of her mother and subsequently started having behavioral problems that made her vulnerable to the cult's allure, as Martha had. And Manson murderer Patricia Krenwinkel fled to a relative's home after the murders because she was scared the family would track her down, as Martha did. Manson, like Patrick, had his more trusted members go out of the compound at night to break into wealthy people's homes,
steal
from them, disrupt and terrorize their lives, and ultimately kill some of them.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the second half of the movie, like, you start feeling paranoid with everything that's going on. Like, you're just like, oh, is that the guy? Like, and then they kind of do a heavy hand of the one of the cult leaders watching her swim at the end of the movie
on a dock on the other side.
Sitting on a rock or something.
Yeah.
Is it actually him or is it just a random person?
No, it's just like one of the members, like one of the guys.
Yeah.
It is someone from the cult though?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because she thought the bartender was someone from the cult.
Well, yeah,
that's an interesting idea, because like you could bring up like she's just paranoid.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't even think that person was who we think
it
is.
But if it was, it just shows like, oh, they found me.
Yeah.
And that's when she becomes paranoid.
I think the her throwing the drink from the bartender was the scene preceding that was the phone call scene. So I think she was like, oh, yeah, they found me out. And she seemed like she recognized him, too.
That's what I'm saying. She's talking as if she recognized this guy.
Yeah.
Saying that he's whoever, when he's just some douche that got hired for this bougie party that they're at.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm just a regular white guy.
I know. You want some whiskey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't fucking talk to me.
You think you're so fucking smart.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Have you ever had a situation like that where you've like someone completely accosted you for literally no reason and you're like, do they think I'm someone else?
Yes, I have.
Yes, I have.
I want to hear this story. Can I hear it?
All right.
Oh, right now? Okay. Yeah. I was like really young in my career. I was just out of like college working at freaking Sacramento Kings, and like we were setting up for like the first game of the season, and I was tasked to find like the like a dolly cart,
sure,
basically, and I was walking around like on the bottom part of the arena, like there's the court, and then like all under the seats, like the concourse that is like all the workers and shipments and stuff is stored, and so I found one and I took it, and like I didn't know anything. There was like I guess there was like a piece of equipment on there, like a really tiny, like a small, like maybe like square, like this big,
okay,
of something,
some equipment,
some equipment that they needed for something. And so like I took it, I brought it up to the office, and then I got like one of my supervisors was like, where'd you get this truck? I was like, I just got it from down there. And like, can you take it back down? I was like, oh yeah, okay. And I go back down the elevator, go all the way down, and then security guard is like, It's like, oh, there's someone's looking for this piece of gear or whatever.
Sure.
And so I was like, okay. And so I wheel it back to where I found it. And then this guy, he works in like a different, completely different department. Like, yeah. I don't even know if he works
for the Kings.
For the Kings. If he was just hired to like set up.
Yeah.
Like it was like some pyrotechnics gear or something like that.
Got it.
And he like comes up to me and is like, where'd you get, is like, where'd you get this? I was like, the security guard told me to bring it back.
Yeah.
I was like, so I brought it back. And then he started just like, kind of like leaning, scolding dude. Me and yeah. like,
is why like, would you take this?
Like, why would you take that? And there was like two or three people just sort of like, one person's talking to me, but there was like two or three other people, like dudes just like hanging around, like watching this confrontation. Mm-hmm. And clearly I'm not like, I feel like, I don't know why they would think I was like in that department.
Sure.
And they're like, he was like, hey man, if you're going to make it in this business, you got to be able to, he said some bullshit. I don't remember.
If you're going to make it in this business, you got to take this trolley back at where this, you found.
At this point, you got to learn a thing or two or something like that.
At this point, Joseph looks about 14 years old, is 115 pounds soaking wet. And he's like, yes, sir.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. All right. And then I just
wanted. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a woman in a grocery store at the very beginning of the pandemic when I first got like my first reusable washable like mask, and I was in there and it has a little hang loose sign on it from the company that I bought it from. Mm-hmm.
That's offensive.
She came up to me and gave me like the devil horns, like the Dio devil horns.
Yeah.
And is like, I don't want you anywhere near me. I've been stabbed 15 times. And I was like, what?
And okay.
And she's like, that symbol is offensive. And I'm like, just trying to get peanut butter, bro.
It's like, what symbol?
And then she followed me around the store for the rest of the time I was in the store. Weird. And was like, basically like keeping about 30 feet away from me. And I'm like, do I recognize this person? Yeah. Do you think I'm someone else?
Yeah.
Or think this is, I don't know. It was very strange. I felt like that moment. I'm like, I'm the bartender.
When I was in college, I was on Halloween night. There always had a huge gathering in the Central Park place. And so I was there, you know, having a good time. Mm. And then there was this one girl and she looked really frightened and confused. And so I came up to her and I was just like, are you lost? Is everything okay? And she was just like, get the fuck away from me. And I was like, okay, just trying to help. All right.
You look like my sleep paralysis demon.
I probably did. So like that sort of paranoia that plays out in the second half of the movie is just done so well because it's not heavy handed. Like it's definitely just like it's an underlying feeling that you have because you're thinking like, oh, is the cult person watching? Yeah. Like what's going on? But at the same time though, you're watching Elizabeth Olsen's character's trauma unfolding in really weird ways.
That's something I was a little confused about too. Mm. Did the brother-in-law actually like caress her thigh on the couch?
Ooh, yeah, I was confused about that too. I don't know.
It shows her being essentially sexually assaulted by John Hawks in the flashback. She's kind of sleeping, dreaming sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then she wakes up and you see a hand go up her thigh and then she freaks out and she's kind of running away from up the stairs and kicks him away.
Yeah, kicks him down the stairs.
Did he actually do that or not?
I mean,
it showed it.
I don't.
So I'm a little inclined to think that.
Was that the scene after she took that medication?
There's nothing.
Nothing
throughout the rest of the movie, though. There's nothing that would show that shows that his character has any sort of infatuation with her.
He just seems like a kind of a dick. Not really an asshole, just kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Like kind of a rich dick.
I can't recall like if that was the scene after she had the panic.
It was the next day. It was a totally different room. Totally different, like days later.
But that is when, like, she thinks he's someone else.
Sure.
And, like, and kicks him down the stairs. And then that's, like almost like the breaking point for everybody. And, like, oh, you need help. Like, sister's like, you need help. Like, you can't be here.
Yeah, we can't do this for you.
And so that's basically the scene before, right? Like, before they start taking her.
Yeah.
And that basically the last scene.
It's like
the
last 15 minutes.
That's when she says to her sister, you're going to be a terrible mother.
Yeah.
Oh, you're like, why? Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like, why would you say that?
You're a dickhead.
But you know,
she might be. I don't know.
I felt for Lucy. I felt for Lucy though, because like she was really trying to help her, but she didn't know like the extent of like.
But she was also not very tactful in things that she said at all.
None of the things that
like
Lucy
she would make her feel stupid.
Yeah,
like with what she says, like what do you can't do that? What are you doing? What's going through your head?
Yeah, I know it's like it's almost like it sounds kind of fucked up. It's almost like being mad at a dog for doing something. You're like, what? Why would you do? Really? It's your own shit. You're gonna eat that other dog's puke? Are you fucking stupid? Are you stupid? Tell me, are you stupid? What was your thought process? I know why. Of all the things, look, I have treats over here, and you want to go eat that dog's puke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But she's they're very not very. I mean, she's sympathetic a little bit, but definitely not sensitive to it.
But at the same time, though, to Lucy's fault, she doesn't she tries to ask, but like she doesn't pry enough, because like clearly Martha is like
she's in a place,
and
she's seen better days,
and all Martha says like, oh, I had a bad boyfriend and decided
to come
true. Back
they, and, she doesn't tell to be fair to Lucy, she doesn't tell them that she was in a cult.
Yeah
Where have you been the last 2 years? In a cult.
Can you imagine?
With someone in a cult?
Can you imagine?
I guess people who I know somebody said that they were in a cult before.
I think that's probably long after they've
been out of the cult,
been reprogrammed. Yeah.
But I think the timeline of her staying at the house and then actually being driven to a place where she can have professional help, I think that's a realistic timeline, because
how long was that, do you think?
I think it was like, it had to have been like 2 weeks. Maybe it was like a month.
It doesn't really say.
It doesn't, but I would gather it'd been a couple months.
It's more than 2 days.
A couple months?
More than 2 days.
Oh, yeah, definitely more than a couple days. But
you've been here all day. I can't take it anymore. I got to put you in a home.
But
this is really bumming out my weekend, okay?
But
Oh, no. It is 2 weeks because Ted says, I come here for... every year for 2 weeks to de-stress.
Oh, that's why 2 weeks came
out. Or less, 2 weeks or less.
Yeah.
At least.
But
I have another problem with Lucy and Ted.
All right.
Who is having maritals in their own house when they have a guest over with the door cracked open? Doors cracked open. She walks upstairs. She doesn't have to unlock the door and open the door and look inside and then crawl into the fetal position in their bed while they're banging. She just literally just kind of zoop right in.
Yeah, she did.
The door's swinging open.
Who cares? It's a big house. It's a big house.
I mean, it is a big house.
It is. I don't care how big the house. I could have a 45 bedroom mansion.
I could have
45
bedrooms.
How many rooms are in a hotel?
I could be at the Overlook.
I know. How many rooms are in a hotel? A lot.
Wait, you're telling me you wouldn't close the door. You're telling me you wouldn't make love to your lady in a 45 bedroom mansion if I was on the other side of it?
I would have the door shut and locked.
Yes.
No matter what. Because I know you'd be right outside the door watching. I know that for a fact.
I'd close the curtains too.
Yeah. I'd stuff a beach blanket under the crack under the bottom of the door.
I put sound foam. Sound
and you're just like, wait.
I would also put decoy sex sounds in other rooms. I'd be playing porn in 3 or 4 different rooms. Tyler would be drawn to them like a moth to the flame. Like, I don't want to see Tyler see my back sack today.
Just like your lady's like, wait, I think I heard Tyler out there.
No, that's just decoy porn. Don't worry, baby. They're all figured out. I got no, he's on the premises. We got to take desperate measures.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I'm a little bit more flagrant with my lovemaking. But
I will make love on my preferred partner in various places in the house if no one is in the home with me.
Oh, the chair I'm sitting in.
Hey, you never know. That's the fun of coming over to people's houses, because you're like, have they had sex here? Have they had sex over here? That's the first thing I actually ask people when I go to their house. Hey, what's your favorite place to have sex in here so I should not sit there?
Well, you should probably get out then.
Yeah, you guys should probably all be standing right now.
You can just stand. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to turn on that black light.
I put on those nurse slippers on that you...
This place lights up like the fucking Luxor with the black light on.
You can see it from space.
It's actually, it's actually brighter at night.
It looks like the inside of a Quasar.
You know, it's the end of 2001 when he's going through the vortex. So.
Yes. Just think of that.
Back to the movie.
So the end of the movie, which I said earlier, is vague, but you can assume what happens, is just a shot of Martha in the backseat while they're taking her to somewhere.
And to the treatment facility.
And you just see the look on her face basically when she just sees, like, oh, they're trying to get me, or they're going to kill my sister and her husband.
And then the car's following them, right?
Yeah. And then
because he comes out of the Ted says, like, oh my God, that guy came out of the fucking nowhere.
So more satisfying or less satisfying than the end of The Lie?
Oh, more satisfying.
Yeah, definitely more satisfying. I like the ambiguity of the ending of this movie.
And it's not that ambiguous, but I feel like it leans towards one way a lot more than...
With the paranoia aspect, it literally could be... I mean, it could be either way. It's a coin flip.
Yeah.
But I like that in her head, no matter what, it's always going to be.
Yeah.
She's always going to be looking behind her back.
Yeah. And then the fact that the car speeds up right behind them is another.
Reminded me a little bit of like her whole like energy escaping, kind of reminded me a little bit of like Swallow.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of getting away from that fucked up family. And they're pretty much trying to just pull her back in.
Gosh, that movie was... to watch. It was a hard watch movie.
But yeah, that was Martha Marcy May. Marlene. And let's grade this puppy.
Time for grades.
Tyler.
All right. I give this a solid B+. It was incredible shots. There was a nice equal flow of tension. And like you said, Pete, the editing was great when it went from the present to the past. I really appreciated that. Elizabeth Olsen really, really makes it seem like she was in a cult and got out of a cult. Mm-hmm. Really loved it. So yeah, solid B+ from me.
I'm going to go with the same grade, B+. Story was just enough. The writing was pretty good. Editing was great. Acting was fantastic. I mean, nothing really particularly stuck out to me as far as score or costume design or anything like that. It was perfectly fine, but not, in your face. And, I think it's an underappreciated gem. I'm glad you brought it to the show because I don't think I ever would have watched this on my own. And it was a good watch. And I'm like, it's cool now to be able to say that I've seen her and Elizabeth Olsen's first performance and how impressive that really was.
Yeah. I'm like a B+, but bordering like A-. I'm like a very high B+.
Yeah.
Me too.
Very high B+. It's
89%.
Yeah. Just, it's really good. There's like acting, writing, editing, just like all around. Like, I feel like it hits all the check boxes for just like a good movie.
Yeah.
I would be not necessarily a movie I recommend to everybody. But if there, someone is into cults, and someone is into cults and cult movies,
huge cult fan, love cults,
yeah. I'm in a cult myself, actually. It's about loving cult movies.
Oh wow!
Wait, which kind of cult movie? Like cult classics?
Oh God! But yeah, B+.
Cross the board.
Yeah. We're all on the same page this week.
That's right.
I know.
Last week was
divisive.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's move on to the wheel.
One wheel, 8 slots, 3 hosts. This is the Wheel of Destiny.
Doesn't sound like me. What? Okay, time for the Wheel of Destiny for new viewers or listeners. There's the old it's the old girl right here. She's been with us since the beginning. We got 8 slots on here. We each got 2 movie selections on there, and then we got a 2 fan pick selections. So, Joseph, what are you replacing Martha Marcy May Marlene with?
All right. I'm replacing Martha Marcy May Marlene, also known as with Paul Dano's first and only directorial movie called Wildlife.
Oh,
never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Starring
two words or one word?
One word. Starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Carey Mulligan.
When was this? What year is this?
This is 2018.
Oh.
Yeah. It's streaming not anywhere for free. It's a $3 rental on YouTube. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What compelled you to put it on?
I just want to watch it.
Cool.
And I have a
total random one.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching, like, seeing the trailer for it a while ago, and it looked, like, really interesting, like, a nice, like, drama. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I saw Paul Dano, really, like, directorial.
I think that's interesting just to see that.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Awesome. So, I'll recap the wheel. We have A Wildlife for Joseph, Come and See from Joseph, A Fan Pick, The Worst Person in the World from Tyler, The Godfather, The Last of the Series, Safe from Tyler, another Godfather selection, and the last fan pick. And again, for new listeners or viewers, if you want your movie to make it onto the fan pick list, just send us an email, mcfcpodcast@gmail.com. So here we go. This is what we're going to watch next week. Godfather Coda.
Oh,
Godfather.
The third of the Godfather.
We're finishing it.
We're going to put the baby to bed.
All right.
So that is
Godfather Part 3.
I don't think it's going to be streaming anywhere because the first two weren't.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you have to rent it. It's the worst of the Godfathers from what I've been
According
told.
To most. But then again, most people say that Godfather Part 2 was the best of the Godfathers, and I didn't particularly find it any better than... I found it worse than the first one.
Mm.
So,
same.
Yeah. And listener Steven was spinning in his grave at that.
Spinning in his future grave.
He was... I know the second one. So many people love the second one. And I have a special guest, which I'm going to hope to try to get lined up for the show, as long as he's available. It's one of my good friends from back in the day who says that the Godfather Part 3, he's seen about... 30 times,
mm-hmm.
and is he says it's the best of all three of them.
Wow.
Which is the alternative take. So wow. I am really interested, and I didn't ask him why.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, I didn't ask him why. He's like, I got reasons for all of it.
Yeah,
and he's happy to do it. So
okay.
yeah, and this is streaming absolutely nowhere.
God, how long is this one?
I don't even think you can rent this anywhere. It says, oh my God, what are we gonna do?
We have to go dollar bin.
This is less than 3 hours. It's 2 hours and 50 minutes, 50 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Still long.
Still directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
It's got a 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
I mean, it can't be that bad.
What's the other ones?
They're like nines.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, a 7.6 for a movie on IMDb is still like, oh, that must be a good movie.
Yeah. What I've heard is that it's still a good movie, but compared to the other ones, it's the worst.
Mm.
So... Of the three fantastic movies.
But this one's got Andy Garcia.
All right. And Diane. Oh, Diane Keaton's been in all of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so that wraps it up for this week. Thank you so much for joining in the podcast land, and thank you so much for joining us in Twitch land and Stab Comedy land.
Yeah.
So, follow us next week as we cap off our trilogy of The Godfather, and I can actually replace two slots movies on the wheel,
yeah,
which I got lined up already.
Ooh.
Join our Facebook page, mostly memes on there.
Yeah, yeah, mostly.
But it's all, it's a good quality content, topical stuff, and we'll post some of the stories from our news segments on there too. That's MCFC Podcast on Facebook. And send us an email, mcfcpodcast@gmail.com.
And follow us on Twitter @podcastmcfc.
And please follow us on Instagram @middleclassfilmclass and leave us a voicemail at 209-730-6010.
See you next time.
See ya.
See ya.
It looks like the inside of a Quasar.